Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is good, everyone? Welcome to KGW's 3-on-3 Blazers, joined as always by myself, Orlando, and Jared Cowley. Max Barr has the day off. It's the day after game number one of the Portland Trail Blazers Denver Nuggets first round playoff series in Rip City, feeling good as the Trail Blazers get the victory 123-109 to take a 1-0 series lead. Portland Trail Blazers did so many things right in this game, just a well-coached, great game plan that worked out well. So many contributions across the board. And it was Lillard time when the game was on the line. A lot to be excited about, Jared. What'd you think about the Blazers' performance, man?
I mean, I think that's the biggest takeaway from game one is just how well the Blazers played and how expertly they executed the game plan. I mean, it was a great plan to begin with, more than anything, to decide that we're going to defend Jokic one-on-one, and if he gets his points against us, so be it, but we're going to stay home on everyone else. And they did that exceptionally well. There's so little to nitpick here. It was just an excellent performance by the Blazers in game one, and Blazers fans should feel extremely optimistic about this series going forward, because the Blazers have now taken home court advantage back, and they've shown that, Denver's going to have a really hard time keeping up with Portland and all the offensive firepower they have. And Portland has shown that maybe defensively they can get after the Nuggets and make it difficult for them. So an excellent game one performance, everything Blazers fans would hope for.
Let's dive right into this game, because I think there is a lot to unpack. And I'm going to toot our horn a little bit on our keys to victory.
As you said.
And there were just a lot of things that have aged well over the past couple of days.
Give our co-host Max, he's not here with us today, but he came up with these four keys and kind of presented them to us. And we were like, yeah, those sound good. Those sound like kind of the keys we might come up with as well. And they were so good, we decided, hey, let's just have these be the four keys for Blazers victory for our podcast team instead of each coming up with individual keys. So credit to Max, because he actually came up with these four.
Max was money once again. And so that makes it easier for us to unpack everything because of the way those keys divide up the way the Blazers played in this game.
Yeah.
And so let's go through it, Jared. Number one was Lillard and McCollum have to be great. Powell has to be ready to make Denver pay for double teams. What'd you think about the way that played out?
Pretty well. I mean, Damian Lillard was outstanding, 34 points, career playoff high, 13 assists, only 2 turnovers. Shot the ball well from 3, 5 for 12. He was good enough from the field, 10 for 25. He really carried this team on offense and did a really good job of, Denver absolutely sent, they trapped and they blitzed, as we expected them to do. And Damian Lillard made them pay. He got the ball moving. He set up that great ball movement we saw from the Blazers all game long. And other players were able to make Denver pay for the extra attention they showed to Dame. CJ was good, not great. 21 points. He shot 8 for 20 from the field, 3 for 7 from 3. So that's fine. CJ can be better. That's the thing. He's always played really well against the Nuggets. So he had, you know, a good game, but he can be better. That's something for Blazers fans to look forward to. Norman Powell needs to be better. I thought defensively, you know, he got the primary assignment against Michael Porter Jr. I thought defensively he was good. Offensively, he had an off game, just 10 points, shot the ball poorly, 3 for 11 from the field, 1 of 4 from three. But the overall point we had that Powell and others need to be ready to make Denver pay whenever they trap and blitz Dame was something Portland excelled at throughout the game. Not necessarily with Powell, like we talked about, but certainly through players like Carmelo Anthony, Anthony Simons, Yusuf Nurkic, Dame, he was in complete control the entire time, the entire game. And he was the best player on the court in game one. He was aggressive, you know, attacking the Nuggets defense. All those blitzes and traps that Denver sent at him didn't faze him one bit. He spread the wealth to all of his teammates. He made everyone around him better. ESPN had a stat that I was reading last night in their game recap. Dame's teammates shot 13 for 15 on passes from him last night, including 6 of 7 from three. So he really got the ball to his teammates where they needed it a lot of times when they were open, and they hit those shots, 13 for 15 on passes from Dame. That's crazy. So I'd say that CJ can be better. Norm definitely needs to be better on offense. Dame was transcendent, and, you know, that's what the Blazers needed. So I'd put a check mark next to that one.
Totally. Dame, CJ, and Powell in the first half did not shoot well, and they struggled from three, but, you know, the supporting cast did their job, and Dame took what the defense gave him. Yes. And, you know, that's where you get those 13 assists, but big time players step up in big time moments. That's what Damian Lillard did, you know, down 9 early in the third quarter. He comes in and just lets it rip, like could feel the urgency and took over that game, hitting big time three pointers, those deep top of the key threes, no hesitation, just money. And the Blazers absorbed the Nuggets' biggest shot. And by the end of that quarter, we're up 10.
Yeah.
So it just shows you also sometimes the most obvious key you want to overlook. And that's Damian Lillard. You know, we were so concerned with Jokic, but there's a huge mismatch with whoever they put on Damian Lillard.
The Nuggets don't have anyone who can guard him.
They don't.
Not a single player.
It became so apparent when they got into that pick and roll and they were coming at MPJ. MPJ was dancing. Dame had him on skates. And it was a mismatch that they were just going at because it was there all day. And when Campazzo was on him, Dame's just a bigger dude. Dame was able to get to his spots. He even sunned him one time, put him down on the ground, backed up and drilled the tray from the corner. Those moments were like, uh-oh, like Dame can get his whenever he wants. And when that happens, like I'm wondering how the Nuggets will adjust to that. What will they do to make Dame's life difficult? Because I don't know if that they have anyone that is capable of slowing Dame down. And if Dame is going to be comfortable, good night.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times teams will try to put length on Dame to slow him down, and that has been effective in the past. And the Nuggets have Aaron Gordon. You could try putting him on Dame more. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, if you throw Aaron Gordon out there, Dame's just going to go around him. I don't think Aaron Gordon can effectively defend Dame either. I mean, I really don't think the Nuggets have an answer for Damian Lillard. So they're going to have to come up with other answers, knowing that, kind of like the Blazers have almost with Jokic, that, yeah, Jokic, you're going to get yours. We're going to try and funnel you into it the way we want you to get your points. And the Nuggets might have to do the same thing. Just know that, like, Dame's going to beat us in that individual matchup. But can we find other matchups that we can win enough to eke out victories in these games? Because they don't have an answer for Dame. They just don't.
I think that's the perfect way to segue. I'll say one other thing there, and that's that Norman Powell has to be better. I mean, defensively, solid job. Need more buckets from him. And if CJ could get his twos up a little more, he was 8 of 20 from the field. He's 3 of 7 from three, which is all right. Maybe he takes a couple more and the numbers even out there. But need a little bit more out of them, especially when Dame goes to the bench, because that's when Denver was able to capitalize on Lillard being on the bench. So need a little bit more out of those two in game two.
And I do think both of them will be better.
Oh, so do I. I have no doubt as well, especially with Powell's, you know, playoff slash championship pedigree. Like, he knows what it takes. You know what type of a dude you're getting out of him. Not too concerned with Powell and CJ.
You know what CJ can do in the playoffs.
Yeah, especially in Denver.
Yep.
So not too concerned about that. It's just one thing you'd like to see so that Dame isn't having to carry the load on a game-to-game basis, even though he proves that he can do it if he's healthy. And that week off has proven to be beneficial for the Trailblazers, especially shooting the rock. But you mentioned defense, Jared, and that's was our second key, and that was defending Jokic one-on-one. The game plan essentially for the Trailblazers was, let's make Jokic get his and don't let anyone else go off. And it worked out well with his one assist.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Blazers did an excellent job at staying committed to this throughout the entire game. And that's tough because there were times where Jokic was really punishing them. But they decided, I mean, that's our game plan. We're going to stick with that. We're not going to deviate from that. They played Jokic straight up the entire game, both when Nurk was on the court, but also whenever Jokic was matched up with other defenders like Enes Kanter, Robert Covington, who he really excelled against. The Blazers still stuck to that. And it worked. You know, Jokic had one assist for the game. I also want to give so much credit to Yusuf Nurkic.
Yeah.
He was really effective against Jokic. First, he stayed on the court. He played 33 minutes. He was never in foul trouble. He did have four fouls in the game, but it was never, you know, he was never in foul trouble where he couldn't stay on the court. Nurkic was the defender on Jokic 68% of the game. And during those possessions, when he was defending Jokic, he was really impactful. Keep in mind, he was defending the MVP, who we all believe is going to be the MVP, straight up the entire game. And against Nurkic, Jokic shot 6 for 16 from the field. That's 37.5%, and 1 for 5 from 3. That's 20%. Against all other Blazers defenders, primarily against Kanter and Covington, who defended Jokic about 20% of the time combined, Jokic was 8 for 11 from the field, 73%, and made both of his three-pointers. So it's not just that Nurkic stayed on the court and kind of executed this game plan to, let's let Jokic beat us, you know, even if he scores, but don't get easy baskets for other, for his teammates. Nurkic, he didn't shut him down because, you know, Jokic was still up putting 16 shots up against him, but he made him shoot a poor percentage from the field and he made him miss all those threes. And that was Nurkic. Nurkic was defending really well against Jokic. And it shows how important it is that Nurk stays on the court as much as possible. He couldn't have done much better of a job than he did in game one. He played 33 minutes. He defended Jokic well. He made Jokic work on defense too. You know, Nurkic had two really good dunks. You know, he shot the ball well from the field. He had, I think, 16 points. So Nurk was outstanding, and the Blazers need him to stay locked in like this for the entire series, because he's really as good as Damian Lillard is. And as much as, you know, we talked about it, the Nuggets have no answer for Dame. Nurkic is really key in this series, staying on the court, staying out of foul trouble, getting as many minutes as he can. 33 minutes for Nurk is awesome. Getting that in against Jokic is important. And if you look at Jokic's assist, the one assist he had, ESPN also pointed out the Nuggets made 1 of 10 shots on passes from Jokic in game one. So that plays a big role in Jokic just having the one assist. But it's not like Portland didn't make it difficult for his teammates. You know, he wasn't able to get easy looks for his teammates like he normally does. 40 of the Nuggets' 57 two-point attempts were defended tight with a defender within 2 to 4 feet, or very tight with a defender within 2 feet. So the Blazers weren't allowing a lot of open shots off Jokic's playmaking. So it was an effective defensive strategy, a smart strategy, and then they executed it very well.
Jared, you nailed it. I think that is super interesting. Hearing those numbers when Nurkic was on him specifically, because that definitely changes the way you look at those stats. Because if you're just following along and you pick up the box score and you're like, oh, okay, Jokic 34 and 16. That's awesome.
Yeah,
you know, like
it is awesome.
they didn't stop him. But when you really get into the nitty gritty there with the assists, which is where he just kills teams, that's what, separates him from a lot of the other K candidates for MVP is those assists are usually way up because he's impacting the game so much and making everyone else around them around him better. And I fully anticipate that those shots are going to fall. And you know it's going to be a different type of game because they're not going to miss that many, especially the good looks that they get. But yeah, you're right. Props to Nurk and what he was able to do. This was the Jusuf Nurkić that we have been talking about all year long. That was like, once he gets healthy, once they have him back out there, he's so important to what they do that he's the anchor of the defense. He's, you know, impacts the offense in so many ways. And you saw it, like he was going up strong. Like he was throwing it down with authority. He was fighting through contact, laying it in, getting the hoop in harm. Like all of those plays that you want to see from your big man who plays in the paint like that. He had it going. That confidence was flowing. He was oozing with swag out there the way he was carrying himself, which was great to see for the Trailblazers. When Jusuf Nurkić is on his game like that, Portland is so much better as a team. Their ceiling is so much higher when Nurkić is playing like that, when we see him like that. And so, Jared, I do think that you nailed it in the way that they followed the game plan. They were patient with it. Even when Jokic was cooking early and the shots were falling, you were like, oh, this isn't going to be good. You know, I was concerned and was wondering how long before they decide to make an adjustment, but they stayed true to the plan. They believed in Nurk and they were rewarded with just a great defensive plan on the league's more than likely MVP. So
yeah,
you know,
the whole time I was hoping, like, don't go away from this. This is the right plan. This is what you need to do. And if he gets points, then he gets points. That's fine. But I was really happy that the team, you know, the players, the coaching staff stuck with it because it is the right strategy. It is the right move. And, you can't say enough about Nurkic's performance. I mean, Portland has so infrequently had him healthy and at the top of his game in the playoffs. And so this is a chance to finally get to see what the Blazers at full strength, because they're at full strength right now. I mean, as close as that can be. I mean, Zach Collins is the only one who's not playing.
Yeah.
But Nurkić is at full strength. Everyone else is healthy. And so this is a chance to really see what Portland can do with everyone, you know, at the top of their game, and Nurkić in particular. We know that he's the key to making this team, in our minds, go from a good team to the potential to be a great team.
Totally. And key number three, Jared, was the Blazers bench has to keep them in games. And I really, this was such a treat to watch, especially to follow along on Blazers Twitter to see how excited everybody was about this. Because I really do feel, and this was, I even said this on the last podcast, was the Blazers bench is going to win or lose them games. Mm-hmm. Like they are that important. When Coach Stotts, you know, basically pulled in the reins and said, we're going eight deep. And these three players have to be so good offensively to make up with some of their, you know, defensive deficiencies that they've had. And they have just come through. Carmelo Anthony was cooking in the first quarter, had 12 points, finished with 18. The crowd was booing him, and it just got him charged up. We saw
Blazers fans charged up too.
Oh man. And so we got to see playoff Melo, who was just gave them that necessary boost that they needed so badly, when the shots weren't falling early for, you know, Dame and CJ and Powell. He came on and did his job, and that's tough to beat when you're getting 18 from your guy off the bench. And then Anfernee Simons was just so good, man. So good. Those spot up threes, he's been, you know, towards, you know, top 15 in the league at knocking down that three. And gosh, he just, it's almost like he's a seasoned vet out there, the way he handled the stage this time around and embraced that role and was fearless and didn't hesitate in his shot taking. And that was huge. He only missed a shot. So to have Anfernee come through like that, and you know, Dame saying after the game, he's growing up right before our eyes. And, you know, Dame saying, I've always had this confidence in him from the time that we saw him at the draft camp and I had a chance to have lunch with him and sit there and just pick his brain. And he felt like he was part of the team before he was even drafted. So like, there's that bond, not only with Dame and Anthony Simons, but also with this team. You can tell how much they want to see him succeed. And to do it at this pace, this young in his career, like, shows you his potential. So to, you know, score 14 points on 5 of 6 shooting, do it in 23 minutes, just bravo. It was the lift that the Blazers needed off the bench with those two combining for 32 points.
Yeah, I mean, getting to see playoff Melo is outstanding. Like I said, I mean, seeing the Denver fans boo him, you know, got him fired up. It also got Blazers fans fired up. I mean, you saw that on social media as that was happening. I mean, Blazers fans are they're defensive about their beloved Melos, so they didn't like that. And what incredible progress from Anthony Simons. You know, if you had told me earlier in the season that he was going to be making this kind of contribution in the playoffs, I would not have believed it.
I agree.
And he's come so far and is really becoming a very dangerous player that opponents have to account for. And that's exactly what the Blazers need. They need that off the bench. Anthony and Simons, they were both a +6 in the game. And the bench did its job. The starting lineup outscored Denver by 10 points in nearly 23 minutes together in game one. But there was this bench unit that featured Melo, Simons, and Enes Kanter, mm-hmm. plus Damian Lillard and Robert Covington on the floor with them. That was incredible. That they played 7 minutes together, and in those 7 minutes, they outscored the Nuggets by 13 points.
Man.
And that's outstanding. I mean, we talked about, you know, trading baskets, and that's what we needed the bench to do. I mean, they did more than that. All told, there were other, you know, lineups featuring the bench that did not fare as well. And so we're going to need to see that ironed out in game two and going forward. But all told, Anthony Simons and Kanter played 15 minutes together in game one, and the Blazers did outscore the Nuggets by 2 points during that time. So yeah, they did. The net rating is where it needs to be. You keep the Blazers in the game when Dame's, you know, not on the court, when those bench, you know, that bench unit is in there, and that's what they did. If you look at just Anthony and Simons, because Kanter didn't have a very good game. Kanter can definitely be better. But if you look at just Melo and Simons, they played 20 minutes together and the Blazers outscored the Nuggets by 8 in their minutes together. So Melo and Simons were great and really big contributors in the Blazers win.
Big time performance. They're going to need more of that.
Yep.
Especially when Dame is out, you know. I remember earlier this season us talking about Simons was the odd man out. Like, it looked like he wasn't going to play. And his game has just flourished. He's playing better on defense, because that was really what it came down to, was how much can you have those three guys out there, you know, as, you know, how much of a liability are they defensively with Anthony, Kanter, and Simons? And Stotts has found ways to play them together, mix and matching the combination of players that works well. And these guys are playing with confidence right now, those three, that when you put them out there, they believe that they're going to have a positive impact on how this game rolls out. And man, that was so needed to have two out of those three have a big game.
Yeah. And more than anything else, I mean, it's just how good their offense is, because they, you know, the defense with them on the court is still not great, but their offense is so good that it makes up for it. You talked earlier in the podcast about how Norman Powell and CJ McCollum need to be better. And that was, we saw that in the fourth quarter when Dame sat and the Nuggets made a little run to kind of make it closer, got within 4. And that was when Dame was off the court and that unit in, you know, it included those bench players, but also CJ and Norm, and they need to be better. They need to be, you know, those three bench players, those three reserves, they need, you know, good production, good leadership from CJ and Norm in order for those, you know, bench units to work and not get, you know, outscored so much that you let the team back into the game when Dame's sitting. And so those two need to be better. I expect them to, but they kind of let the Blazers down in the early in the fourth quarter.
There was a play that happened in the first quarter, end of the first quarter, that was just beautiful basketball. Mm-hmm. Offensively. I just tweeted it out today, courtesy of NBC Sports Northwest, but I just thought it was like the perfect ball movement, the extra pass that went through everyone's hands. No dribble, you know, from Dame to Melo to Cantor, the kick out to Covington, and then Anthony Simons drills the wide open three. It was just a thing of beauty. And having motion like that just changes the way this team flows, gives other guys confidence. Everyone is involved. And I think that just makes the Blazers even deadlier. So to go through this game and uncharacteristically have 29 assists? 29 assists.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just 6 turnovers. This offense was clicking.
Yeah, the ball movement was incredible all game. I loved that play when Covington got the ball. You know, I guess that was the fourth pass. Mm-hmm. He was open.
Yeah,
he was open at three, but Simons was there just a little bit more open, and so he moved the ball along, and yeah, it was beautiful.
They gave up a good shot for an even better shot.
That's right.
Was awesome. All right, Jared. Key number 4 was don't let Michael Porter Jr. arrive to his coming out party. What do you think, man?
He was good. He had 25 points, 9 boards. He made all 11 of his 2-point attempts, but the Blazers shut him down from three. You know, he missed 9 of 10 3-pointers. I don't think that's going to be the case going forward. Michael Porter Jr. is one of the best outside shooters in the NBA. I expect him to be much better than that. But the Blazers didn't make life easy for him. If you look at the data, the Blazers actually did give up a lot of open looks from three in game one. 25 of the Nuggets' 36 three-point attempts were either open with no defender closer than 4 feet or wide open with no defender closer than 6 feet. But that did not apply to Michael Porter Jr. They really focused on making sure that they crowded him, didn't give him any daylight. The Blazers, of his 10 three-point attempts, only 3 were open or wide open. You know, the other 7 three-point attempts, the Blazers played tight defense with a defender within 2 feet. So Porter's primary defender was Norman Powell. And even though we talked about how he wasn't very good offensively, he really defended well against Porter Jr. He defended him about 45% of the time in yesterday's game. And he was effective. Porter had 9 of his 25 points against Powell. He was 4 for 7 from the field, but he missed 1 of 4 from three. So Covington, Lillard, and McCollum all spent a little time defending him too, and I think all of them were effective. So I think Porter Jr. was good. I mean, 25 points, 9 rebounds, you know, so effective inside the arc. You can't like completely discount what he did, but missing 9 of 10 from three, I mean, that's really where he can hurt the Blazers. You know, he hits a few of those threes, it's a completely different game. So the Blazers need to continue to crowd him, not give him any daylight. I think Powell did a good job defensively against him, but I do expect him to perform better, to hit some of those threes. I mean, he's too good of a shooter to expect him to, you know, shoot 10% from three, but give that a check to the Blazers for now. And let's see what Porter Jr. does the rest of the series.
Yeah. I'm curious to see how he adapts. Mm-hmm. How will he change up his game to try and get better looks? Will he concede and continue to attack and take what's given, or will he trust the offense, wait for that open three? Because I am a little bit concerned when you mention those numbers on those good looks that the Nuggets are getting, because they're gonna fall eventually.
Yeah.
And you know, the key to this game, you know, the Nuggets shooting 11 of 36 from three, 30%. The Blazers go well above their magic number and hit 47% of their threes, 19 of 40. They don't lose very many games when they shoot that high of a clip from three. But with Michael Porter Jr., I also like how the Blazers made him work defensively.
Yeah,
and
right.
that can have an impact on what you do offensively. And it really was like, we saw the way that Jokic, you know, lit up, or just as soon as he saw Cantor on him, went right at him. I mean, it was like, get out the way.
Yep.
it's time to eat. And it was the same way when they were able to get that switch and MPJ had to guard Dame.
Yep.
And Dame was like, all right, baby, let's go. It's my time.
Dame,
you know?
Dame was hunting that switch.
Oh, totally.
Over and over again.
Totally. And so I've got to imagine at least a little bit that impacts Michael Porter's game on offense, you know, where,
yeah,
you know, early on, he's like, all right, you got yours. I want to come back at you. But as you're just working on a guy over and over again, that can wear on you a little bit. And so let's see what type of resolve Porter Jr. has from three, because overall, yeah, he's 25-9 from your number two guy offensively. Like, that's cool. But that 1-for-10, he's got to be better from three in order for the Nuggets to win this series, because they've got to be able to manufacture points. 109 isn't going to cut it with this Blazers offense when it's clicking like that. It's just not going to happen. And Michael Porter Jr. has got to be one of the main ways that the Nuggets are able to get points, because you look at it, I mean, Jokic has got his, but then after that, Gordon has 16. He's 2-for-4 from three, which is pretty good. And then Morris with 10 off the bench, and that was it. Everyone else single digits or didn't score.
Yeah, and I mean, going back to the open threes the Blazers allowed, I mean, I think that, and I don't know if it was strategic, you know, haven't talked about it, but it's okay to allow open threes to the right players. If you're allowing, you know, Aaron Gordon to shoot open threes, if you're allowing
that, right?
Yeah, Austin Rivers to shoot open threes, if you're, I think that's okay, as long as you are defending, you know, the right guys the right way from the three-point line. And they did that against Michael Porter Jr. Mm-hmm. Something, I mean, I noticed was Jokic had, I think, 6 open three-point attempts in last night's game. And thankfully, I think he only hit one of them. But there was, after the game, Stotts talked about how he wanted the Blazers, he thought they did a good job against Jokic, but he wants the Blazers to crowd Jokic a little more. And I think he was referring to the three-point line, that we can't just let him, like, you know, he shot 38-39% from three this year, so they can't let Jokic have those open threes. But I think when you're talking about some of the other players on offense for the Nuggets, yeah, let them have open threes, and that's okay. But you got to make sure you shut down and crowd the right three-point shooters. And I think the Blazers definitely did that against Michael Porter Jr. and need to clean that up against Jokic a little bit more in game two.
Oh, that's such a good point, because, yeah, it does matter who you're giving those open looks to. And Jokic is not one of those dudes you want to give wide open threes to. Because, I mean, overall, he was 3-of-7 from three, which, you know, from your big, you'll take that.
Yeah.
So don't let him get hot from out there, because once that happens, good luck. Like, he's going to light you up so bad. So, Jared, you touched on it at the end there. What type of adjustments do you think need to be made to come away with a victory in game two?
For the Blazers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you change that much. I think you crowd Jokic, you know, don't give him open three-pointers like we talked about. I think that you expect better performance from CJ McCollum and Norman Powell, but I don't think there's any necessarily strategic adjustment you make for that. You just expect them both to be, you know, more effective. And that you probably don't expect Melo and Simons to be quite as good as they were. I mean, the way they shot the ball from three, you probably don't expect them to continue it at that clip. So maybe if CJ and Norm are a little bit better, that makes up for it. But right now, I think that the Blazers did almost everything right in game one. So I don't think you make a lot of adjustments. You kind of see what adjustments Denver comes at you with in game two, and then you adjust accordingly. But for now, I think that you stick with the game plan of making Jokic beat you and not, you know, making it easier for him to make his teammates better. And you see if you can continue to make that work. And I think you have to be careful. I assume that Denver is going to do everything they can to get Nurkic off the court. Mm-hmm. Because if Nurkic is not on the court, and Jokic can go up against Cantor or Covington or whomever, he's going to dominate. Mm-hmm. And so I think that you're probably going to see them be really physical against Nurkic, try to get him into foul trouble. I think you're going to see Mike Malone talking to the refs a lot about Nurkic all the time. You know, if you can get him off the court, you can get Nurkic into foul trouble. That gives the Nuggets a big advantage. And so I think you have to protect against that. Make sure that Nurkic, you know, be reminding him all the time to keep his head in the games. You know, just he didn't have a lot of, sometimes we see these, you know, mental errors from Nurkic, and he didn't have that in game one. So you have to really be on him to make sure that he keeps his head in the game and continues to execute the way he did in game one, because if he can't stay on the court like he did in game one, it's going to be hard for the Blazers to steal another win in Denver.
I think that's on the money in terms of what Denver needs to do to have a chance to win this game. Obviously, they've got to knock down threes. They've got to manufacture points from somewhere just to keep up, because the Blazers' offense has shown no sign of slowing down.
No.
The past couple of weeks, they specifically, I mean, I know this offense has been top tier most of the year, but now they're on an elite level right now offensively. So that's the biggest concern for Denver is, how am I going to get buckets? How, and, you know, MPJ has to be able to knock down threes. Yeah. It has to happen. But yes, they've got to go at Nurk.
Yep.
They've got to attack him. They have to make Nurk's life a little tougher. Force him to make some decisions on, do I defend it? Do I let it go? How important is this possession? Try and draw some fouls, get him frustrated. That's going to be huge for them. And I think you're right. Michael Malone will be working will be working the sidelines a little extra.
I was surprised he didn't say anything in postgame. You know, you've seen that with coaches kind of play those mind games in between playoff games to maybe get a more favorable whistle from the refs in the next game. Mm-hmm. Phil Jackson was a pro at it. And I was surprised that he didn't make any mention of it, about how physical they let Nurkic play against Jokic, to maybe get that in the officials' minds to, you know, to just, you get a cheap foul or two against Nurkic, get him off the court, and it changes the entire equation for Denver.
Totally. Worst thing that could happen for the Blazers is Nurk picks up two quick fouls in the first quarter. Like, oh, I think that's that's like the worst thing that could happen, you know, in terms of, you know, in realistic terms of, you know, game stuff. Nurk being in foul trouble right out of the gate, I think could be a huge turning point in that game, and also taking, you know, evening up the series.
Yeah.
So I think those are the two huge things for Denver. And you mentioned it with Portland, is just, all right, let's see a little bit more from CJ offensively. Let's see a little bit more from Norman Powell offensively. Continue to play the way you did defensively, and you keep them in that low 100 range. And I mean, this series could be over early if that's the case.
If the Blazers get another win in Denver on Monday, I mean, never say never, but the series is over.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what's on the line here. And so they have to execute just as well as they did in game one, and hope that the Nuggets don't make too many, you know, effective adjustments. But I'm excited. I mean, Monday should be, last night's game was extremely entertaining, and I expect every game in the series to be the same.
Yep. I'm excited about it too. Monday night, 7:00 Pacific time, TNT will have the game. So that should be entertaining. If you're local, you can check it out on NBC Sports Northwest as well. But yeah, seeing the TNT crew on that game, I want to hear what they have to say. I'm not sure I'm assuming they're in playoff mode as well. So they'll have, you know, Chuck, Kenny, yeah, and Shaq or something.
Tune in at halftime and after the game. And
exactly. I want to hear what Barkley has to say about those Blazers, because he gets
on the Blazers bandwagon very quickly. You know how it rolls with Shaq.
So that's going to be cool. Just, it's going to be, you know, must-see TV here in the Pacific Northwest, in playoff mode, man. Jared, any final words before we wrap up this podcast?
No, I think we're good. I think I'd just, you know, enjoy every moment. Playoff basketball is the best, and we don't know how long the Blazers are going to be in it. Hopefully they have a nice long run ahead of them, but, you know, enjoy every game, enjoy playoff basketball.
And a little bit more motivation is the Phoenix Suns beat the Lakers in game one, 99-90. So I know it's a long way to go. I think the Nuggets Blazers is a deep series. I think all of us had it going to seven games.
Yeah.
And until, you know, Portland, you know, wins back to back in Denver, I'm still going to stick to how I think this series will play out. But if you want to look ahead, just know that series is 1-0 right now in favor of the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, great performance by the Suns, you know, especially defensively shutting down the Lakers.
And also, Jared, we tried to warn our listeners that you don't know when a podcast is going to drop during playoff time. So just watch out because we're going to be in our bag. Who knows? We might just, you know, have an emergency podcast every now and then. So be on the lookout for this pod. Expect another one sometime this week with the three of us. But we just felt the need that we needed to get on it and talk about game one and not let it, you know, just sit there because each game is going to have its own story to tell.
Absolutely.
All right, Jared, nice work, man. Let's run it back next time, even better than ever. Appreciate everyone for supporting the podcast. Continue to subscribe and let everyone know about this. It helps us out so much. We love doing the podcast, and I hope you enjoy it as much as we do. Take care, everyone. We'll see you on the next one. See ya.